We've been spending about 41 weeks in the book of Acts talking about after Christ died for our sins on the cross and then rose from the dead and then ascended up to heaven to the right hand of the Father and poured out His Holy Spirit. He sent His apostles to go out into the world and tell everybody that they can be saved through faith in Christ. And the book of Acts is basically what happened after that when they went out into the world and they faced all the onslaught of the enemy in order to try to bring the gospel out to a world living in darkness. Explains how really the church just exploded onto the scene, and the faith that God has given us has just spread throughout the world. And so, as you know, if you've been here, we've been spending about 41 weeks in that. You have seen that the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote probably most of the New Testament, was really the figurehead for that, how he beaten nearly to death so many times, stoned, left for dead, suffered all kinds of persecution, yet he kept on going. And we've been looking in recent scriptures about his third missionary journey out to the world. And this would be a very pivotal time for him because last week when we were talking about when he was in Troas and the guy fell out the window and he raised him from the dead and things like that happened. He told the people there that this was basically it. In fact, he gathered some people from the city of Ephesus later, the church leaders, and said, "Guys, this is it. You will never see me again. I love you dearly. I have not coveted anything you have. I have poured out my life for you. But you know, God has shown me," he told them, "that my life is about to take a different direction. And so I'm never going to see you again. So there's something I want to talk to you about that is near and dear to my heart. And I want you to please hear me." And with tears in their eyes, they embraced each other. And this is what Paul said to them. He says, "After I leave this place and God takes me in this other direction." And actually, we see that actually happen. He went to Jerusalem. He caused a riot. They arrested him in order to save his life, and he appealed to Caesar. And then so they said, "Okay, well, you're a Roman citizen." And they took him on a trip to Rome to go, you know, for a hearing before Caesar. And how he spread the gospel all through that thing, was shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, and the whole nine yards. Anyway, he says, "I'm leaving you guys, but look, I have laid down my life to build these churches. And I have a concern because God has shown me that they face a very real threat. There is a very real danger. And we face this same thing today as a church. Throughout the centuries, all of God's people has faced what Paul is about to explain right here. And so it's diligent. I mean, it's important that we are diligent to understand this threat that looms at every corner." And what he said was that after he had laid down his life to establish these churches, he was concerned for their spiritual safety because he knew that because Satan hates God and therefore hates the people of God, he would do everything in his power to destroy what Paul had built up, to destroy those people in order to come against the work of God. And that these churches would be vulnerable. So he got together with these leaders and he said, "Look, God has made you shepherds over these people. Shepherd the flock of God. Look out for them. Lay down your life for them," essentially. And in fact, in Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 28, this is exactly what he said to them. And we need to hear this because we need to be aware of these dangers that he is saying that even we today face. Paul told them, he said, "Therefore, take heed. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in from outside." Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. "And also from among yourselves," from within, "from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore," what? "Watch." Therefore, watch. and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everybody, night and day, with tears. Paul says that there are two enemies, and I know I've preached about this before. For some of you guys, this will sound kind of old hat. Nevertheless, there are two enemies that he spoke of that would attack the church. One, he said, savage wolves would come from outside. They would come in from outside and not spare the flock. Now, generally, that refers to persecution. And in the 2,000 years that the church has been around, there has been some violent, brutal persecution. But it doesn't have to be violence in order to be persecution. Anytime someone comes and says that what you believe is just a bunch of, you know, garbage and you're an idiot and what are you following Jesus for, you know, you just look like a clown, that's persecution. If your boss refuses to give you the position that you were seeking after because he thinks you're a Christian nut, that's persecution, and that's hard to deal with, especially the way Jesus said, to bless your enemies, to love your enemies, bless those who persecute you, pray for them. So there's those that come in from the outside, and there's also those who rise up from within, really basically spreading lies and deception and heresy, because, you know, God has revealed his truth to us through Jesus Christ and through his word, but these people will rise up from within, posing as though they were Christians, but really spreading lies and deception and draw people after themselves. That's how you get cults. Jim Jones drew people all the way down to South America. And next thing you know, they're all drinking Kool-Aid and dying. And all kinds of cults spring up teaching things that are not true to lead people astray. Because Satan wants people to be in bondage. And he does it through deception, through fear and intimidation, through addictions and bondages. So, two enemies, enemies from without and enemies from within, exactly. Now, ABC, Nightline, aired a fascinating debate. It was recently, I don't know exactly when it was, a debate between two Christians and two unbelievers. And in this debate, and my buddy Phil Creasy, you know, just hooked me up with the link to this, and wow, man. Kudos to him. I'm grateful for his doing that for me. Man, it just blew me away. In this debate, there were the two unbelievers that were there representing the opposite side, basically were those two types of people. One of them could be classified as a savage wolf from without the church coming in and attacking the church, basically saying that we're a bunch of morons and we don't know what we're talking about. We're, you know, ignorant and we really need to get a life or a clue. Gentleman by the name of Deepak Chopra. You may have heard of him. He's written a lot of books. He's a New Age kind of guy. Talks a lot of really bizarre, weird, Far Eastern philosophy and stuff. And the other guy, someone basically who arose from within the church, is a former pastor. Some of you may know him because he was, for those who are familiar with the singer Carmen, he was Carmen's pastor years ago. His name is Carlton Pearson. And he left the faith, he left Christianity, and now is preaching some bizarre kind of nonsense. And if you can make sense of it while he's talking, you know, good luck to you. He really doesn't know what he believes. He's still trying to figure it out. But you know, he doesn't believe the Bible anymore. And we'll talk about that some at length. So they have both of these kind of people represented there. Now the two Christians are named Mark Driscoll, some of you may have heard of him, and Annie Lobert, and I'll talk a little bit about them more later. But they debated the question, and I think we had it up there, yes. Does Satan exist? Two on the yes side and two on the no side. Now, every time I have preached primarily about Satan or demons or that type of thing, stuff happens. I'm serious, stuff happens. And he tries to disrupt, he tries to put people, get people distracted, put them to sleep, get them off base. And so after, you know, 10 years of doing this kind of stuff, I know that whenever I preach on this topic, I need to pray especially that the Lord would prevent that from happening. He even sends thoughts to me to try to disrupt my speech and my thought pattern. So if you would just take 30 seconds with me for a moment, I just want to pray against that kind of thing. Because I want you guys to really hear. We have some powerful stuff that's happening today, and I want you guys to receive all of it. So if you would just take a moment with me, I just want to pray against that, if you would. Father, we know that you have all authority, Lord. Even you've given this to your Son, Jesus Christ. He said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. And so we just call upon you now, Lord, in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, and in the name of that authority, we just bind the enemy, Lord. We bind Satan right now. We say, you have no place here, you have no power here, you have no authority here, and you must leave here right now. You are to take your hands off the people that are here and to leave them alone. And in the name of our Lord Jesus, we just cast you out right now and say, leave this place. You have no place here. And Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would loose our ears to hear, and that you would set our hearts to understand and allow us the grace to hear what you are saying today and to lay hold of that with all of our heart. I pray you do this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So they have this debate, does Satan exist? And they actually broke it into ten separate videos. And what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks is we're going to take some video clips from here and play them so we can see some of the points that are raised, both for and against. And we're going to unpack those arguments a little bit and talk about them and say, does this stuff really hold water? Is what this person's saying really valid, or is he cutting corners in order to try to make his point? And we're going to ask the question, does Satan exist? And what's really cool is in the course of their conversation, a whole lot of other issues came up because all this stuff is interrelated. It's all tied together.